Welcome. You're listening to the Mac Observer's Background Mode. This is your host, John Marcellaro. And this week, my guest is VP of Marketing for Mayfield Robotics, Chris Matthews. Chris, welcome.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Nice to have you on the show. My listeners and my readers know that I am an absolute nutcase when it comes to robots. And our Jeff Gamet, managing editor, told me about a great conversation he had with you at CES 2018. And so couldn't wait to have you on the show and talk about Curie, the robot you guys are working on.
Fantastic.
So tell me, how did the company get its start, and when did you dream this up, and when was the company launched?
Sure. So the company was started in February 2015 by Kaijen Shao and Sarah Ostentowski, who then recruited the third co-founder, our CEO, Mike Beebe. And they started it because the Kaijen and Sarah are the two roboticists here, the two founding roboticists here. And they were working in corporate research at Bosch and wanted to explore the idea of home robotics as a category, as a thing that like really hadn't been cracked into in the way that sci-fi had, in the way that Rosie from the Jetsons had always promised. And so they pitched the idea of exploring the space through a startup into Bosch's internal incubator program, something called the Bosch Startup Platform.
Oh, this is Bosch, and the car parts company, right?
Yeah, this is Bosch, the car parts and consumer appliance and like the 80 plus billion dollar multinational nonprofit based in Germany. And they said, yeah, that sounds like a great idea, and got them underway. And that's when they started exploring what it was they were going to go make. And that's about 3 years ago now. And the genesis story really started in the category of home robotics. They went out and did a bunch of need finding to try and understand where the robot was going to be. There were many dozens of prototypes. I think we were into the neighborhood of like high 50s. And today we have Curie, the adorable home robot that is actually out in homes of our first customers right now.
When I think about home robots, or what I call family service robots, I don't know if that's a term, I kind of made it up. But anyway, there is the notion of duties and chores, and there is the notion of service and companionship. Do you recognize that division and consciously focus on one or the other?
We focus on a lot of aspects. The one that we really put forward from the start was actually personality and the idea of creating a sense of agency and a sense of character.
Companionship.
Yeah, very much, because you couldn't have companionship if it was something you didn't actively like or felt comfortable with. So then you have the reactions and the interactions that create the longer term companionship. And then there is the utility side of this, which is like, how does the robot earn its keep once in a while, you know, be helpful a little bit every day in some kind of way. So it is steps towards an AI complete robot one day, but we are many, many years away from that. Rosie is still a part of science fiction, but
how about robot and Frank? How about robot and Frank companionship? Have you seen that?
No, I have not.
Well, that's an excellent movie. You ought to check that out. It's about a retired fellow who
buys a little family service robot.
It's Frank Langella. And he ends up teaching the robot how to do robberies with him.
Yep. I have seen the trailer for that. I have not seen the actual film. But it just reminded me that I need to put that back on the list. I've seen a lot of robot movies in the past couple of years now, and said that one needs to get back on. But we're moving towards, like, we know pure utility robotics, robotic vacuums, for example, serve a specific purpose, but they do so without character, and they do so without sort of a sense of play or companionship.
Is that technically harder to do, like teaching a robot to open a door handle or do dishes is technically harder than, say, software where you can have movable eyes and a smile and a good look and personality and software and dialogue. Is that something that you consciously decide that that's easier to do, or is that just more of a focus that's what we want to do?
Things like arms specifically are particularly very difficult and very expensive. So, you know, Curry, as an example, does not have articulating arms because to create a home robot that a lot of people can take home and afford, you know, they're not going to afford a $20,000, $40,000 robot as a simple accessory to the home. Most people.
What is the suggested retail price of Curry?
$899.
Is that all inclusive, or are there add-ons?
So
services.
It's complete at $899. However, you can add on additional cloud storage for the video. We can talk about that as we get into sort of like the magic of what Curry does. But there are abilities to have more cloud storage should you want that, but it is not a requirement of having the robot.
So I got off on a sort of a technical bent here, and maybe we got ahead of ourselves. why don't we just pause, take a breath here for a second, and tell me what Curry is all about, the vision of the design, what its intended purpose is, and just kind of lay that out for us.
Well, Curry is designed to be a character, a companion, a sort of spark of life to your home. Many people, when they first see Curry, have a very emotive reaction because they don't realize just how alive Curry will be when they first see him or her. If you prefer Curry to be a girl, that's your choice.
Can you choose?
You can choose all you like. I tend to think of Curry as a boy. Many of my colleagues here.
Oh, I meant like Siri, you know, you pick the voice like a British female or Australian male.
Well, because Curry speaks robot and sort of beeps and boops like R2-D2, it's not a gendered voice. Curry doesn't have a human voice. But Curry is very expressive in terms of movement and style. So much like a cartoon, like Baymax from Big Hero 6. That sort of character is now in real life in front of you, moving around your house by himself and moving autonomously.
So you're just to clarify, there is no speech synthesis.
There is speech understanding. He has an array of four microphones, so he can reply to and respond to voice commands, but not verbally reply to you. So, hey Curry, play your favorite song. Gets an acknowledgement, and then he plays his favorite song, which is Pancake Robot. But but he doesn't then sort of wax poetic about why he likes the song in an Australian accent or anything like that.
What was the design thinking behind not having the robot talk to you like Siri or Alexa?
A lot of that, both the fact that he has no screen and no voice, were conscious design choices to keep Curry's personality at a very fixed and consistent level so that he doesn't break character, right? Like if he had a face that was a screen and then that screen stopped being his face and became an input output keyboard, the robot stops being the robot and starts becoming something else. And
Pepper's an example of that, right?
Sure. It is jarring from a like consistency standpoint. If your best friend like once in a while turned into a fire hydrant, that would be really weird. And even if it was infrequent. So, and then on the voice side of things, because natural voice, natural language processing is amazing at the moment. And even really far ahead of where it was even a couple years ago, it's still not quite there to meet the level of like even a 4 or 5 year old kid. You can't have nuanced conversations that go far beyond the programmed interactions. So keeping that.
Yeah. Tell me about that.
Input to output level. More kind of like how you'd think of like a medium smart dog, right? Like
sure.
Responds to responds to his name, responds to some commands that do helpful things, but is not about to, you know, have a full-on debate with you.
Well, that's a very interesting point you make there, because daily, almost, we at the Mac Observer write about the frustrations of Alexa and Siri, mm-hmm. and those recognitions of nuances and terrible mistakes, and stark realization that there is a computer there processing language. Without that human side, that human touch, that sophisticated nuance, and to sort of try to do that and fail would be not so good, right?
Yeah, and it's tough because we all want it to be so good, right? We believe in like where it's going, and it's just every time it steps up, it gets that much more amazing. But when you crash down on the that disappointing moment, it's really hard. And so we made a choice that we weren't quite there yet. Like the royal we voice isn't quite there yet to where we felt like it would be a match for Curry. And so we pulled the responses down into an adorable series of sort of beeps and boops and chirps that are his language.
As you said, R2-D2.
Yeah, exactly.
Before we go on, I wanted to back up just a little bit and ask you about the name of the company, Mayfield Robotics. It's not one of those spectacular, glitzy, sci-fi sounding names that companies like to do when they build a company like this. And we were talking earlier and you told me there's a story there.
Yeah, it actually has to do with where the company was first located. It was inside the Bosch facility in Palo Alto. And if you've been to Palo Alto has two downtowns. And the reason for that is it used to be two towns. It used to be Palo Alto and Mayfield. And Mayfield, back when Stanford came into town to build his school, was sort of the town that he wanted to build the school in. But Mayfield was also the rowdy saloon and brothel sort of part of the area. And he said, look, you guys got to go dry it, and I'll put my school here. And they all basically said, no way. And we're way too busy having fun. And so Stanford put his school in Palo Alto, and then also made sure that the train didn't stop in Mayfield. And so Mayfield is sort of this old homage to where the company was first sitting, in this, like, this idea that we have a little bit of a pirate attitude around the office of like, we will band together and get things done no matter how hard it seems. And we also make sure we have a really good time while we're doing it.
Was there any temptation or any voices within the people who started the company to go, well, maybe we should be more sci-fi cool? Or was it no-brainer from the start?
The lore, I wasn't here at that part because that was very early on with Kaijun and Sarah and Mike, but there is no residual regret of picking the name. We think it is perfect and appropriate, and it allows us to really just focus on Curry and making great robots.
Yeah, it sounds grown up, sounds mature. Sometimes companies get too cute with their names, and then you don't take them seriously. Yeah. So, what about any other mistakes that you tried to avoid? We just went over one, trying to, do voice, prematurely. Were there any other conscious design principles? We talked about, no arms.
Yeah.
Any other psychological or conscious design?
Well, one that was
considerations.
Yeah. One that was actually really fascinating. I think it's a great story about how we ended up with an adorable home robot, was that when Kaijun and Sarah first set out on this adventure, they were really thinking that this was going to be a home security robot. And when they were doing a lot of need finding around the robot, they found out that people were much more interested in what the robot would do while they were home than how the robot would be a security robot while they were away. They're like asking questions about how they could interact with it. And that guided them away from the security angle that they were originally thinking, and much more towards this home companion, this this idea of a home robot that you could interact with and would want to interact with throughout the day.
Let me ask you about that real quick.
Yeah.
So home security concept, even though you decided not to focus on it, is the idea that Curry would be like a perimeter instinct dog and it would wander around and it would be sensitive to motion and open doors and disruptions and use its microphones to detect any incursions? Is that the thing? Any pictures?
So if I can, let me talk a little bit about what Curry does.
Okay.
And that will answer that question. Curry's ability to move around by himself, he has a laser-based navigation system that lets him not only build a map of your home and understand where he is in the map, but understand, like, there's a bag in the way that wasn't there before, or someone moved that chair, and I know how to get around it.
Where's that map stored?
That map stored locally on the robot.
Cool. Yeah, we don't want to be in making mistakes there, like some other company we won't name.
we're happy to have, you know, be where we are. Mm-hmm. But as he's wandering around your home, his mobility allows him the ability to put his camera, which is a 1080p camera that's kind of cleverly hidden behind his left eye, which you don't really see. Because his eyes are black. They're sort of like, it's like a camera almost behind sunglasses. And he will take little 5-second videos throughout the day when he sees things that are interesting, people, pets, activity, things that are like happening that are unique.
That's a whole hour discussion in itself, which we don't have time to get into in terms of how Curry decides what's interesting.
Yep, exactly. And so that is computer vision and it's machine learning, because then through the app, as Curry is sending you sort of little 5-second highlights throughout the day, you know, and some days you might get 3, some days you might get 10, kind of depends on how much activity you've got at the house. You tell him which ones you like, he gets better and better at getting more like that over time. And so this ability to capture these little moments is his most magical feature, because you now have a little home historian. And that gives you something that a lot of people have never had, which is a different perspective. It's almost like if you could ask your dog at the end of the day, like, hey, what'd you do today? And your dog like pulls out their iPhone and like shows you some video they shot.
Cool. Well, Chris, guess what? We have to take a break right now. I want to come back and visit that subject in a second. But first, we have to take a break. Folks, we'll be back in 60 seconds. Stay with us.
Hello there, all you fabulous Background Mode listeners. I'm Kelly Gamont with the Mac Observer, and I just want to say a few words about how you can support all the things we do. If you're thinking about buying something from Apple, Amazon, or Mac Mall, just go to the Mac Observer's homepage, where we have a section called Support TMO. Or you can just enter macobserver.com/Apple Store, all one word, and that will take you to our special page for Apple and our other affiliates. If you make a purchase from one of our partners this way, the Mac Observer receives a small compensation for sending business their direction. Pretty cool, right? And you don't pay a penny more. This small fee from our affiliates helps us continue to bring you TMO's daily news, reviews, tips, how-tos, and podcasts like this one. So the next time you're thinking about an online purchase, come to TMO's homepage and support the Mac Observer. Thanks. Back to you, John.
Thank you, Kelly. I'm chatting with Chris Matthews, Director of Marketing at Mayfield Robotics. So I'm going to ask you a sticky question now, Chris. You mentioned before that there is cloud storage. Where are these short videos of your home and your private activities and your children? Where are these videos stored?
And how? So they're stored in the cloud and using Amazon cloud storage, and the videos are encrypted on the robot, encrypted in flight, and encrypted in the cloud. So the encryption level is something we take very, very seriously.
Who has the encryption key?
So the only way into those is through the app, which is through your unique login. So only one who can see those is anyone who you've given your login to.
So there's an iPhone app.
There is an iPhone app, exactly.
Okay. So once you log into your phone, then you can look at those videos, and that is the encryption key.
Exactly. And then from there, you can delete them, and they're deleted forever. You can save them locally.
On the cloud as well?
Correct. Yes. You hit delete, there is no going back.
So if someone had access to the Amazon server, all they would see is encrypted video.
Correct.
All right. Very good.
But if you want to share one of those videos, that's also super easy. It's just as easy as sharing directly from inside the app or saving the video locally and then sharing it from your photos roll.
Does Curry make any affirmations about what it thinks is a better video than others, or does it just present everything it did?
He does. He makes some choices about what looks good, both in terms of things like, is it in focus? Is it well framed? Is it well lit? And then also based on the preferences that you've given him, the parameters of telling him which videos you've liked in the past. And so that processing happens in the cloud, where he'll crunch through those videos and decide, okay, of the 17 I captured today, I'm going to show you these 8 because I feel really good about these 8. So it is a curated list where Curry makes it easy to just look at the highlight reel.
So Curry needs a really good internet connection everywhere in the house, right? So you probably want to have a really good base station, like a mesh router or something, so that you've got really good coverage.
Good coverage where Curry's rolling around. We have found in a lot of the user testing we've done, both at Airbnbs that we rent and test families that we work with, that a lot of the home activity happens centrally around like dining room, living room, kitchen areas, which also tend to be where internet is typically quite good.
Is Curry useful to travel with? Like sit next to you on an airplane or take to grandma's house to create Thanksgiving? He has to learn a new map, but it might.
Yeah, it is possible, but it is not optimal. And so I think the Curry is a home robot and is designed to be at home, but we've definitely traveled with him. We've taken him, like we've had him all over the country. We've taken him to events. We definitely have had him in lots of different places. Mm-hmm. And so he is not adverse to travel, but he's 20 inches tall. He's 14 pounds. You want to he's got some pretty complicated electronics on the inside. So you don't want to drop him or drop in a pond or anything like that. How does
Curry move? Is it tractor treads or is it wheels?
Yeah, he's got two drive wheels that are like a modified tank tread design. So as he's driving on them, they act like wheels in terms of contact patch. But there's a big contact patch up front of tread so that he can get up over like thresholds and handle carpets and transitions and all the normal bumps and find in a normal house.
Those interfaces between hardwood and carpet sometimes have a metal strip.
Yep.
Curry can handle that.
He can handle that. No problem. He doesn't do stairs. But he also, because of the way his lasers are set up, he also identifies when there is an edge that he can't go over. So he won't send himself downstairs either.
Does Curry have any safety mechanisms built in so that it won't run over a cat's tail or fall over and harm a baby or something like that? Are there any considerations like that that come into the design of a robot like this?
He's got the laser that he uses to navigate cuts the beam into three separate beams. One that looks downwards for cliffs and obstacles down the floor. One that looks straight out, maybe about 6 inches off the ground, and then one that looks upwards looking for things he might bump his head on. Mm. And so that covers a pretty wide range of obstacles that he'd want to avoid. And he's also up off the ground, so he doesn't have like a lot of sharp edges or anything like that. So and then there's a big bump sensor on the front. So if he does bump into something, he does sort of apologize and back up. It's kind of cute, actually.
So if he's approaching something he thinks is living, like an animal, does he bark, gurgle, or beep, or something like, I'm here, so he doesn't startle somebody?
He'll mostly just stop and find a different way around, as if there's something in my way. Although if he does see a cat or a dog, his computer vision systems actually once in a while let him meow at the cat or bark at the dog, which is also kind of cute. There were a couple of things I wanted to add about what Curry does, though, because we talked a little bit about what we call Curry vision and his ability to capture video. But I wanted to get back to something you asked earlier about security and make sure we covered that off.
Yeah, in terms of protecting the data and so on, family privacy.
Well, no, more in terms of like Curry exploring the house, because we don't talk about Curry as a home security robot. Okay. Well, we do talk about home awareness, though, because through the app, you can look through Curry's camera and see in real time what's happening, and you can move that. You can tell Curry to go to any spot in the house that he's allowed to go to.
From anywhere in the world.
Anywhere in the world, yeah. So I want to see, for example, I want to see if the lights are on in the kitchen, or I want to see if the dog's on the couch. And if you saw the dog on the couch, you could actually speak through Curry's speakers and tell the robot, or have the robot tell the dog to get off the couch, but it's your voice.
Is that called telepresence?
So, yeah, exactly. So because Curry's battery lasts about 2 hours on a charge, he can be running around by himself, and then he'll take himself back to his charger and charge back up, and that takes about an hour. And so he's not on and active all the time, nor is he watching every corner of the house all the time.
So when he's plugged into the charger, he's asleep, basically.
Exactly. And he's also like physically asleep. His eyes are shut. There's a physical shutter in front of his camera. Like he will not capture anything. So in terms of checking in on demand, absolutely. In terms of a full blown home security system, he's simply too cute. It's not what he does. But for a lot of people, being able to check in on the house once in a while is exactly what they want.
One of the things I'm endlessly curious about is the psychological factor of the design. You mentioned that Curry has a certain frame of mind to be a companion, to be gurgly and responsive and so on. But what are some of the factors involved in the physical design? I noticed a lot of robots are white and they have big eyes like a baby animal. Are there any other factors like that that went into the design of Curry that you were conscious about?
Certainly. A lot of them relate around animation. And one of the most important is broadcasting intent. This is something that we do as people all the time, where we do things that psychologically help others understand what we are about to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it puts people at ease. So as Curry's driving around the house, if he's going to turn left, he looks left first.
Oh.
There's no mechanical reason he needs to do that. It is merely a animation element that helps people understand what's about to happen.
Awesome.
And then on a different tangent, specifically about the eyes, like you mentioned, those big black dot eyes. This is another animation principle where if you look at Curry from a lot of different angles, it looks like he's looking right at you.
Does he blink?
Oh, absolutely. Yep. He blinks. Sometimes he sneezes. Like there's lots of little things to make him appear and act in the way that we would hope, you know, friends, pets, other lifelike creatures would act.
You mentioned that the eyes are black. Was there any thought put into having human-like eyes with pupils that would change diameter in response to emotion or anything like that?
Pupils are exactly what gives eyes a very specific direction. So if you're having a conversation with someone and they're looking at your ear instead of at your face, even though that slight difference in where their pupils are looking is physically quite minor, it's very disconcerting.
Oh.
So having those big black eyes makes it look like Curry's looking at you from a much wider range of angles and lets people interact with him and feel comfortable around him much more easily.
Fascinating. Yeah. Listeners, are you cluing into this? This is awesome. All right. I love it.
And a lot of this, like, we've worked with some fantastic animators on Curry's design. And so the principles are coming from many, many decades of experience at, like, you know, the big design houses and the big animation houses in terms of, like, creating characters and making them adorable, making them lovable, and making them, like, feel lifelike.
In order to do that, I imagine there has to be significant processing power. Is there something like a Xeon chip in there, or something that's really hefty?
There's a high speed and a low speed board, and we handle a lot of processing on the robot. And there's definitely, in terms of compute power on the robot, there is a lot there. There's also enough there to handle over the air updates and give us some flexibility to add more stuff in the future, so that we're, you know, not limiting ourselves, you know, any more than we have to. And so, yeah, it is a lot of processing power in there, but with the advent of technologies that, you know, power things like cell phones, it's made a robot like Curry much more possible. It wasn't that many years ago that it wouldn't have been possible at all.
How would you characterize Curry's processing capability? Like our desktop Macs, say, you know, 32 gig of RAM, 500 gigaflops, teraflop?
I'd first say I'm probably not the best person to ask the specific comparatives, and your experience is probably far outweighs mine. But I would say that, like, in the neighborhood of a good cell phone or a good smartphone, mm-hmm. it is a good analog.
Well, you know, the A11 processor in an iPhone 10 can do 600 billion operations per second. So,
see, I told you, you knew more than me.
So maybe not floating point operations per second, but at least operations of some sort. All right. Without giving away any future products, I don't want to Osborne you if you're familiar with that term, but is there a public or a natural growth projection for Siri, or is that kept for Curry, or is that kept under wraps?
Well, the most important element of this is that Curry can handle over-the-air updates, and mm-hmm. we've actually put out a few of them since we shipped our first robots. So not only is that something we knew we were going to do, it's something we have already done. And we plan on keep doing that because we've got a really talented software team here that, you know, keeps putting out new features, new capabilities, and new emotional, what we call remojis, you know, little animations.
Can you open up a little door on the back of Curry and slap in a terabyte SSD or something like that?
No. It's not quite like the days of desktops from years ago, where you just, like, open up the case and throw in another.
Oh, I can just see people complaining bit, but, now. Oh, he's not upgradable. I can't upgrade the RAM.
as we talk about things like how does Curry expand over time, a lot of it will be software. And from a Mayfield Robotics standpoint, this is our first robot, but it just certainly won't be our only robot. So we've got incredible team here thinking about where else can robotics be helpful in the home? What else can we do to make life at home better? But we are very much squarely focused on home robotics. And we like to talk about making robots that are joyful, useful, and inspiring. And mm-hmm. you know, that trio is quite important to us, but it also allows a lot of latitude in terms of, like, what areas we might explore. And our next robot, whatever it is likely to be quite complementary to Curry, as opposed to, like, a replacement of.
Excellent. Well, we're just about running out of time here. It's amazing how fast this has gone.
Yeah, it's been great.
I want to wrap up here and ask you about, remind us the cost again and the estimated ship date for Curry.
Sure. So the cost is $899. We have been taking pre-orders over the past year, and we are fulfilling those pre-orders throughout the spring. And if you place an order now, you might get in, depending on when you're listening to this podcast, you might get in the spring shipment, or yours might be in the summer. But we are very close to getting our next big wave of curries out in the world. We're learning a lot from the curries that are already out in the world, and we're excited to.
So you had kind of a beta testing program.
Well, it was past our beta testing program, and it was our first shipment to customers.
Okay.
So that part happened in December, and as with all things, you learn a lot when your robot goes in the world, and we've had some fantastic feedback from our first customers that have really helped us identify things that were a surprise to us, but also identify things that needed to be tweaked and needed to be tuned up a little bit, which we've been able to do. And it's been a fantastic process and a fantastic launch off the ground.
Curry looks like a lot of fun. I know you promised one to Jeff Gamet. I'm going to have to drive over to his place and wrestle it away from him. Okay. So
we could probably get you one too.
That would be really cool. My first robot. That'd be so cool. Well, this is just what I thought was going to be in terms of the content. All these little nuances, the technical insights, the design considerations, and so on. All these little technical factors that go into the design of a little companion robot, you've explained beautifully. And I'm sure the listeners would just tickle pink to hear about all these little issues and design points and considerations that go into building a robot like this. So this has been very informative and very cool. Thank you.
Great. Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. It's been a pleasure.
Tell the listeners how they can contact you if they want more information, or who they should contact. And do you have a Twitter feed for Mayfield?
Yeah, sure. So our website is Hey Curry. That's HeyKuri. So you can see videos and learn more there. If you need to reach us, all of our social handles are at Curry Robot. So it's KuriRobot. Mm-hmm. If you need to reach us via email, support@heycurry.com. We'll get you a reply real quick.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, Chris, thank you so much for being on the show. This has been excellent. And appreciate your time. And we'll put this up soon. And listeners can hear of all the cool stuff about Curry and maybe get one of their own. So thanks again.
Thanks so much.
Okay. All right. Folks, you've been listening to the Mac Observer's Background Mode. We'll see you again next week.